Texas Trios. Man, they've been rocking from the get-go. Texas Trios. Like the Pecos, the Brazos, and the Frios.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Today we have an awesome guitarist, Buddy Whittington, joining us. Buddy used to play with John Mayall in the Blues Breakers, and you know we love John Mayall around here. But he's got an album out now. It's called Texas Scratch, and he's got put it together with some of his good friends, awesome musicians like Ben Suler, who played with George Thorogood in the Destroyers.
Still does.
Vince Converse. It still does, exactly.
Yeah.
But John Mayall did retire, right?
Well, John turned 90 years old the other day. He slowed down considerably. He says he might do some local gigs where he doesn't have to travel, but I think he might not be completely out of the game yet.
I can never imagine him really being retired. When I heard something about that, I was like, yeah, right. You know, I remember seeing him perform in San Diego at the Belly Up years.
Right. I played there with him many times.
Yeah, I love that venue, right? That's a good venue.
It's a great place.
I love that part
of San Diego down there. It's very nice, relaxing.
Yeah. That's where we started out of our magazine. We're ancient now. But, you know, I had a broken arm. I remember having a broken arm. And, like, you know, then by the end of it, I'm like, who cares if people bump into it? I don't care. Do whatever you want with my arm. That music is driving me. But tell everybody about this album coming together. It's out now. So everyone through Quarto Valley Records, which we love, it's out now. But this seems like you've got, you know, such amazing musicians on this. But it was put together like a while ago, right?
I believe it was 2000. I was thinking it was 2011, but Jim corrected me. Suler corrected me the other day and said it was 2009. And I thought, wow, how old were we? Were we still, you know, had our voices changed yet? And and anyway, Jim called me up and said, let's go. Well, actually, there's another label that was New York based that we had recorded this for initially, and some good friends of ours. And they had worked a little bit with Vince, and I knew these guys from meeting them, playing with John Mayall and going through New York City. And the next thing I know, they're getting the idea for the three of us to get together and you know, write a few songs and maybe just get together and write something in the studio, maybe just to see what we could come up with. And we did it in a real quick, you know, short period of time, maybe 4, maybe 5 days. We got the tracks down, and then they mixed it for a while. And then we started getting all these messages like, well, there's been a holdup, and, you know, it'll be out in September. Well, it'll be out in February. And it just kept going for 14, 15 years, you know.
That's insane.
And finally, this company sold it to Quarto Valley,
nice,
who put it out immediately when they put it out. I believe it came out in September of this year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And we've had me and Jim have played a couple of gigs. We haven't done anything with Vince yet because he lives in Denver now. And the next time we get to where we're all at liberty to go out and play some gigs, we're going to get all three of us and get a good rhythm section and go out and play some.
Yeah, no, because let's talk about that, because the drummer's on this too. You've got Jeff Simon and then Nathaniel Peterson. Jeff also with George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Jeff, he's been in there longer than any of them. I mean, he's been with George since the 70s. And sad to say, Nathaniel passed away about the time this came out, maybe a little later. I don't even know if he ever knew about it, but he was a lot of fun to work with. He used to work with Savoy Brown.
Right. And yeah, we've had them on the show. Just after Kim passed too.
Right. That was devastating. He was such a good friend, and I would try to see him every time he came through here.
Oh man. And so what I love about this album though is that you've got a little bit of everything of Texas in here, and you do cross over into Louisiana. You got a little cockfight going on there.
Well, are you familiar with John Nitzinger? He was a local guy around here that had, you know, a big hit with that song in 1972. He had an album. It was like a matte black finish that had these big silver letters that said Nitzinger across the front of it. And it was a really great album. He was a local guy from Fort Worth. And he was on Capitol Records. That's what used to just astound me. I was going, there were several bands at the time that were showing up on Capitol Records. I'm going, how are these guys on the Beatles label? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anyway, Johnny was very successful with that song and some others too, you know, and he moved on and did some other albums, but he's still with us. He's not out playing it much anymore, but we still hear from him once in a while. Great song too.
You know, that's the thing about this album is you've got a little bit of Texas, like a little bit of everything of Texas, but you've still got the blues, but that drive, there's something about Texas music that it's, you've got the shuffle, but you've got the, it's like Bo Diddley went on a shuffle. And I don't know how to explain it, but there's like this drive that and maybe it's because we have to drive so far across the state. I don't know.
Could be.
What is it? I mean, but the roots music of Texas is pretty interesting to me. You know, putting it all together. And I think this album, if you love the blues, if you love that kind of Americana blues, not quite country-ish, you know what I mean? It's
right.
It's like salt of the earth music.
I think a lot of that is when I was growing up, it was Freddie King lived 30 miles from me,
and
was easy to go see Freddie at Mother Blues in Dallas or at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas or at the Mother Lode in Fort Worth. And him and guys like Bugs Henderson and Nitzinger and guys like that, they were all playing the blues, but they rocked it a little bit. Nitzinger and his band, they were on an album that they went to Puerto Rico and did called Marisol. And he does a real rocked out blues. You can find him on YouTube. Just look up Nitzinger Marisol, Marysol. And they do a real rocked out blues on there. But that's where a lot of that comes from is because Freddie, I mean, he was born here and stayed in Dallas, and they moved to Chicago, and he pretty much hit his stride in Chicago. Then he moved back home and was just playing local gigs around here and had a band where they would, you know, they would be out in the bus and still touring the country and going to Europe and stuff. But you could still see him locally, and they were rocking. I mean, he really, if you went to see him, man, they had everything, all knobs on 10 and really rocking, really great stuff.
Now, was everybody from Texas with this album? Like all of you?
Well, the three guitar players are, and like I say, Nathaniel, I'm not sure. I believe he was from New York or New Jersey. And Jeff is from Delaware, where they all started. He's from there. I think he might live in Pennsylvania now. But but they all, like I say, they all started up there with the Delaware Destroyers, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's right. Now, but for Texas, the Texas Scratch, isn't that term an actual style? Like, doesn't that go back to some Texas roots music?
You know, I really would like to say that I knew how that bit of information got involved in this whole thing. But sadly to say, we don't have any idea. It's somebody put in that it was a style of guitar that Mother Maybelle Carter used to play in Tennessee, you know, and it's just not that way. What started, I have a song on the album called I Got the Itch, But I Ain't Got the Scratch. and the guy that the original label that had it, it was his idea to call it Texas Scratch. And I said, why do you want to call it that? He said, well, isn't scratch money? And I'm going, well, I guess it depends on what you're talking about. And it, you know, that's where it all came from. But no, there's no guitar styles.
See, I always thought of it as chickens. And then when you hear it in some guitar playing, you've got like the chicken sounds.
Well, there is the Nitzinger thing. It's got the chicken.
There's a chicken. Yeah. It's got the chicken sound.
Thanks for noticing that. He would like that you noticed that.
Yeah, because that to me is that as soon as I heard that, I was like, yeah, now it's all coming together. It's me. And then you're on the internet, everyone's talking about what Texas Scratch is. And I'm like, does anybody really know? But to me,
it just started out, you know, with the label owner saying, well, doesn't that mean that there's money in Texas? Or if you got the itch, but you ain't got the scratch, doesn't scratch mean money? And I was going, oh, could we go another way with that? But
I like the chicken side because then it kind of goes back to Little Red Rooster and
all
of that kind of thing. You know, it's kind of got the call back and forth, and you know, some good music has that. But now, I mean, with this being, so you guys put it together over 14 years ago, then coming back out with it now, it's like got to be interesting to go back and listen to it and kind of reconnect with it. Or have you been playing these songs over the years?
We haven't played them all. And like I say, I don't play with Vince really at all, because he doesn't live nearby. But we play some of the songs, and like I said, we play the Nitzinger song, and Jim plays his songs, and I play my songs on it. But yeah, I think all of them are getting played a little bit on our individual gigs, and then hopefully, like I say, we'll get out and play all of them together.
I hope so. I love this album because it's got a little bit of everything on it, and it just to me is like when you're driving and you drive across Texas, you better have some good music. I talk about this with everyone all the time, but Texas is one of the states that actually has good music on the radio, which is there's certain pockets. When you're driving through, you can find some local stations. And I think there's like a Texas music station, which you always hear like Ryan Bingham and Lucas Nelson. And
there's a lot
that
of
you
the,
don't hear
that
else.
And the red and a lot of the young Red Dirt guys that are coming out. You know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the stuff that we grew up playing. You don't hear quite as much, except for there's a great non-rev station, I think is what they call it, in Dallas, KNON. My good friend Blue
Maybe
Lisa.
That's what it is.
Blue Lisa plays my records and Jim's records all the time on that. We were so thankful because we know we're getting at least a little bit of airplay every week.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. The radio is not what it used to be, but it sure is good to hear some stuff on the radio like that.
Yeah, because it's certain pockets of, and I think it's going to be the same station we're talking about. You're talking about, and some parts of Louisiana is good, and Mississippi. I'm like, and you know, the South does radio in certain pockets really well, and when you hit those zones you get all like hallelujah, we got something different, and like the B-side or other people you don't always hear, you know, because they play the same set list across the country. I swear
I'm
to God,
telling
it's
you.
Ridiculous. It's, you know, I'm sure all our listeners are tired of me complaining about it, but honestly,
Yeah,
stop
my
it.
son, my son's 33 years old, and he says I can't listen to classic rock stations because they play the same 15
Yeah.
songs all day long, over and over.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, and it's like there's so much good music out there. I mean, this album, Texas Scratch, to me is one of those gems that you're just going to keep playing. You're
Well,
just
I hope so.
going to keep
I hope
playing.
people get, you know,
I want
enlightened
it on
too.
vinyl. I want it on vinyl, though. Like, you
You
know,
know,
not that I can do that in my car.
I'm not sure if they're doing it on vinyl or not, but
I think
that is a good idea.
CD. I know it's out on CD. Let me read the press release. CD and streaming. But I would like to see it in all digital formats. So everyone, you can get in all those formats. But I personally just think it's one of those you want to put on a record player, you know,
Yeah, it'd be great.
and you want to play it really loud. Like
Yep.
I want to go in a barn and have a big party with this
Well, that's
album.
so awesome to hear you say that because I mean, here we are. I mean, we're all well past our sell-by date and being in a band, and we go. I'm going to go play for the people I went to high school with tonight. You know what I mean? It's like,
Ah, nice.
and there, we do it every now and then, and everybody gets together and they want to hear all these old tunes we play and everything. But it's like, can you not play it so loud? You know?
No,
So
I want it loud.
I do too. I need to play
But
loud so I can hear it.
yeah, I know, right? I think that's part of my problem too. It's just like, you know, and then I realize that every cop car is, you know, I'm in trouble every time I'm on the road. I need
Yep.
to turn it down because they're going to get me. I
Makes your
mean,
foot a little bit heavier.
I know. Well, that's the problem about your kind of music is you will get me speeding ticket. I always, that's how I rate music. Is it speeding ticket worthy? And you're definitely worthy of the speeding ticket because especially going across Texas, just saying. But yeah, I mean, this is music that people, whatever age, I think can just get into it and appreciate and actually move on the dance floor, like get up there and, you know, throw a beer bottle once in a while. I feel like we need to go back to that.
Well,
I
that's
really
great.
do.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just get down and dirty, you know. But I hope you guys really do tour with this, you know.
We plan to as soon as everything kind of works its way. Well, you know, we're the trouble we're having recently. I mean, I live in Fort Worth here in Fort Worth area, and we've had three clubs go out of business this week. You
Oh,
know,
no.
and three venues, I should say, and it's getting that way pretty much everywhere. So we're just going to have to try to book some things that may not be, you know, like a nightclub kind of thing. Book some shows that are like maybe somebody puts on a home show or something, you know?
Oh, those are fun. Those are
Yeah.
when you get some crazy party stuff going on. That's fun. But what about the Hill Country? I mean, all the wine country out there, and Austin's got to be pretty.
You know,
there's
a lot. I don't really play out that way much. You know, Pootie Locke, who was Willie Nelson's road manager for years,
Mm-hmm.
he had a club out there that's still open, and they have, you know, blues rock. Alan Haynes plays out there, and some, you know, some good acts play out that way. But I'm sort of out of that area, and it's like they don't. You can throw a rock in anywhere around Austin and knock a guitar player or two out of a tree. You know what I
It's
mean?
kind of like Nashville, yeah, in that way.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay warm and happy in my little nest down here, you know?
Well, Dallas Fort Worth, though, like, I don't want to complain about your traffic, but it really sucks
It
at some
really
point.
does. I've been here all my life, and I will completely agree with you.
I'm just like, every time I'm like, oh God, do I really have to go through it? And then you do put the music on. But do you think that things are getting too, maybe too commercial in a way? In some ways, for music to be the way it should be. Like, it's almost too, I don't know, it feels like sometimes establishments get over commercialized and too glitzy without just opening up a good bar with a
A
good
good
stage,
foot
good
stomping kind
acoustics.
of place. I hear
Yeah.
you, and you know,
Yeah.
people are
Maybe it's
expecting
just me.
a little more out of it. Maybe I know, I understand that.
Yeah, we want crazies, but I think it'd be really cool to take this, go to Europe. I know, like, everybody would dig this album in Europe. It's huge. Like, the sound is so good, and all the different songs. I mean, but how did you do that in 4 days? Did you guys all just have what you wanted?
Well, we like I say, we had a few of the songs already written ahead of time. We hadn't recorded anything, but we got there and we just got the basic tracks put down. And then like after we split up, Jim came home to Dallas and had some Hammond B3 parts put on and maybe a vocal,
Nice.
you know, vocal
Yeah.
harmony part or something like that. But it just didn't, I mean, it wasn't like we were doing Rumors or something like that. It was, you know, it just didn't take us that long, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's a lot of drugs too to do rumors.
Yeah,
But now, have you and Jim been pretty close and play together a lot?
pretty well. I mean, like I say, he plays around quite a lot, and I try to get out to see him as much as I can. We work different places a lot of the time, so it's difficult to always get out, but we keep in touch pretty close.
Yeah, that's cool because both of you, I mean, it's the whole album. Everybody in there is just like spot on. And I think sometimes when things just come together quickly and it's not sat on too long, when you sit on things too long, it over gets over polished, and you guys have it like just exactly where it needed to stop being, produced and all of that, because things get over produced sometimes, and I think it's just exactly where it should be. What do you
I
think?
hear what you're saying. I mean, we tried to get it out as quick as possible, and then it had the big stop on it for so long, you know.
God, that's
And
crazy. That's crazy.
so now we're, you know, we're all 15 years older and putting it out now.
Hey,
So
so tell us a little bit of the start of you getting out there and, playing. Tell everybody a little bit of your journey and then going on and playing with John Mayall.
well, I've been around the Fort Worth area all my life, really, and I met John when one time we had a band, a local band called the Sidemen, and we did a lot of opening shows for people at the old Dallas Alley complex in the West End of Dallas. And we were the opening act on a John Mayall and a Bluesbreaker show, and I met John that night. And we got to talking a little bit. He said, could I have your actually he did it through my drummer for him that was played in the band with me. He called the drummer because I gave him a. It's back when we had cassettes.
Oh,
If you
yeah.
remember back then,
Oh, yeah, I love cassettes.
I gave him a cassette, and he called the number on the cassette, which was our drummer. He said, "This is John Mayall. I'm trying to reach Buddy Whittington." And then I was in line at Taco Casa, and Mike Kennedy calls me up on the phone. He goes, "Hey, are you sitting down?" I said, "Yeah, I'm at Taco Casa." He goes, "Go home and call John Mayall."
Oh, okay.
And I said, I'll be right there, you know. And I had to get it together and make sure it was okay. We had a 3-year-old and a newborn, you know. And I said, I'm
Oh,
about
wow.
to embark on something that I just want to make sure we can do, you know. And she was happy to see me get the chance to do it, and did it for 15 years with them. And
Wow.
it was all in all, it was a great experience because we played. I mean, we went around the world several times, you know, mostly around the world. We went a lot of places and played to a lot of people.
And there's
So
an integrity with his music, I think. That's
I think so. I think so. And,
Yeah. It's like
you know,
when you brought up rumors like Fleetwood Mac, when I think about, I always tell people like, no, the real Fleetwood Mac,
Peter Green.
let's go Peter Green. He's one of my
Yeah.
favorite, like he's on my like top 10 of all time.
Right,
Peter
and I
Green.
got we got to tour together with
No way.
the Peter Green Splinter Group that he had there.
Oh, no way,
Yeah,
really?
and the guys, two of the guys that were in the Splinter Group wound up being in my band when I would go to Europe, to England to play after the Blues, after I was out of the Blues Breakers. And I still probably will play with them some. Hopefully we get that going again, you know.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And it was great to, you know, it was great just to be around all that history, you know.
Yeah, because there was like a soul to it. And
Yep.
just that slide, that feel, that just, you know, I people talk, I mean, like, I'm not knocking anybody in Fleetwood Mac whatsoever. They're a
Right.
great
I
group.
hear
I mean,
you.
they're fantastic. But just when you go back to those old recordings and just the, you know, John McVie and just, you know, being, I don't know, just it's a whole different band as far as I'm concerned. And I just love that old, you know, style. But John Mayall at that point, like he would like set up things. I almost feel like in a way, like Jeff Beck helped musicians get their footing and some, you know, showmanship out there and like help, you know, move people up. Like Rory Gallagher did the same kind of thing,
Yep.
helped people. Do you think John was doing that too?
Well, yeah, I think he, you know, he B.B. King would always bring up the fact when we would go to England with and open for his tours over there, and he always would make sure he told the people that he goes that John Mayall helped make the English people aware of B.B.'s music. You know what I mean?
Oh,
And
yeah.
he was happy and was happy to have him as a friend and somebody to, you know, to go over there and work with. I thought that was pretty, to have BB's stamp of approval on it was pretty big deal to me.
That's cool, man.
I was just
Yeah.
happy to be there and play the gig every night.
Yeah, man. Well, I hope you guys get out there on the road with this because
I'm sure we will at some point.
everybody needs a little Texas scratch.
That sounds like a slogan to me.
I know, I like it. I like it. I love the album and I can't wait to be on the road and driving through whatever storm we're gonna go through. I'm gonna like, you got good music, you've got the focus, you got the zen, and you know, just ride on. And
Well,
so, you
keep in
know.
touch and let me know where you're going to be. And if we get something, I'll let you know.
Absolutely, please do. You know, we're always around the country, so you know, we'll watch out too. But is there a main website for folks to go and connect
I
with you?
don't think there's a website yet. I believe there's a
Okay.
Facebook page,
Okay, everyone, that's where we can go.
but I don't
Look
think the
up.
website has been done yet. I'm sure it will be before long.
Okay, and everyone, Quarter Valley Records, go to their website too. They always post things too. They're a
Yeah.
great, great company. So they know good music, that's for sure.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, yeah, they do. Well, thank you so much, buddy. It has been a real pleasure having you on the show, and we definitely want to see you out live for sure.
Thank you, Lisa. I sure appreciate you talking with me.